The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This clip is brought to you by State Farm. At State Farm, they know what it takes to insure your home and ride with surprisingly great rates. That's why it's a good idea to consider State Farm, because with State Farm, you don't have to give up what you love for great insurance. For surprisingly great rates, como un buen vecino, State Farm está ahí.
My grandmother had posters on her wall of old school matches at the Carlos Colon Arena in San Juan. And we would watch American wrestling and lucha wrestling pretty much every day. And she, as did many back then, was fully convinced that wrestling was 100% real.
Listen to the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The more we learn about COVID-19... the more questions we have. The biggest question now? What's next? What will COVID bring in 6 months? A year? If you're feeling anxious about the future, you're not alone. Cal Hope offers free COVID-19 emotional support. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire. For April 6th, a day that I thought we would be talking about in historical terms as crowning Gonzaga the greatest team in college basketball history. We'll get to that shortly. I do want to say at the outset, thank you guys for subscribing, rating, and reviewing. That's the way the podcast gets legs. That's the way more people listen to it. So a shout out from me to you. Thank you. Also, we will be talking about Sam Darnold, finally traded by the Jets a little bit later in the podcast. I thought it was a good move. A lot of people disagree. Jets fans are yelling at me. That's what they do. Jets fans are clueless idiots. And I'm sorry to besmirch an entire fan base, but that's the facts. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, we got to start with what almost felt like, to me, a Rocky IV moment. Gonzaga was Apollo Creed, and everybody's hyping them. Oh, they're undefeated, and are they the greatest team of all time? And, you know, you just had Jay Billis on the pod yesterday talking about, is Gonzaga, are they right there with Indiana undefeated in 1972 UCLA and the great UNLV and Duke and Kentucky and blah, blah, blah. And in comes Baylor as Ivan Drago and then just knocks them the bleep out in the first 5 minutes, and that was the game. Baylor a, I don't want to say a stunning upset because you guys know I called it. I gave it out. I bet it heavily. It's weird when you bet a game. We've got my in-laws in town. You guys follow me on the gram. You know that. We've all been vaccinated, so we're taking people in town. My brother came, now my wife's parents, and you know, I'm talking about in-game betting during the game, and my kids know what's going on, and then, of course, the question comes up, well, Jay, how much are you gambling on these games? Well, you know, it's a funny thing. So I got a couple player props, and, yeah, to quickly try to change the subject, but I was loaded up on Baylor. I loved them +5 at the outset. It went down to 4.5, felt good about it. Easy winner. That ticket was cashed in the first 5 minutes. I think it was 9-1. And then Gonzaga cut it to 10 at some point, and then they got it to 9. They had a couple chances, and that was it. They never really were able to pull off the upset. And, you know, listen, this was an awkward season for sure with the COVID pause and the bubbled-up tournament and, you know, no travel. But it came down to the two best teams, Baylor, Gonzaga, what everybody wanted. And it's weird because everybody wanted it, and it was a destruction. I mean, it left you asking questions like, wait, if Baylor wasn't hit by COVID, would they have run the table? Because there was a moment, if you guys remember in January, and I know nobody remembers paying attention to college hoops in January. Are you crazy? NFL playoffs are happening. And the question was Baylor and Gonzaga or the field. And Baylor was that good. Then they had COVID. Then they lose a couple games. The defense was off kilter. And then they quickly get it back and finish 28-2 with a beatdown of Gonzaga. I don't want to, you guys know what I'm about to say, but I don't want it to come off the wrong way. And the beauty of this, you can't, this is another thing that if you guys listen to my Saturday radio show, the producer, Gavin, who also works on this podcast, said, you know, Jay, it's funny. You will say stuff on the radio show that I'm like, wow, he really went there. But you won't say it on social media. And I told him like, yeah, that's a real thing. Social media is black and white. There's no gray area. And one wrong word and you're allegedly canceled and people come after you and whatever. You can provide context and discuss things like nuance on a podcast or a radio show. So what I'm about to talk about, there is nuance involved. Just want to prepare you for it. So Gonzaga looked incredible, destroying the WCC all season. Again, I think they had 27 straight games winning by double digits. And then they run into UCLA in the Final Four, and they don't play any defense, and they win in overtime on a 35-foot bank job by Suggs. Incredible game. And, you know, you guys watched Timmy, the big white guy for Baylor, throughout the tournament just dominate everybody. Footwork like Kevin McHale. Corey Kispert, who I had seen on mock drafts after I posted mine. I had him going 23rd. I didn't think he was a lottery pick. Everybody, after I posted my mock, said, you're crazy. Kispert, 46% on threes, Jay. This guy's a first-team All-American. He's awesome. He's a lottery pick. He might go top 10. And I watched Kispert against UCLA. I'm like, I don't know. Against top-tier athletes, he didn't look great. And then against Baylor, I mean, he looked, I don't want to say frightened, but he just wasn't built for that moment. Baylor's got dogs. They got athletes. They got great defensive players on the wing. And Kispert was 2-for-7 from deep. And he had a couple good looks. And I think what happens with those good looks is you're so rushed the rest of the game that when you get the open look, you still rush it a little bit. And I thought Kispert and Timmy just were completely outclassed by Baylor. And again, I'm not making this out to be a racial thing. I'm not making it out to be a they play in a weak conference thing. I just don't think Kispert and Timmy, as good as they look throughout the season, are as awful as they were against Baylor, but they're not as great as they were during the season, if that makes any sense, Rob. I'm trying to thread the needle here. Like, I think Kispert can be a pro. Can he be Duncan Robinson? Maybe. But like, Rob, it's tough when Corey Kispert is like the number two or three option against Baylor, and then he goes to the pros, and he's definitely, when he's on the court, going to be the fifth option. And it's another thing when Baylor knows what's coming and they've got two incredible defenders in Butler and Mitchell and they say, we're going to take away Kispert. We're going to take away Suggs. And what else do you got? And Timmy just got, I mean, he got, I don't want to say ragdolled in the lane, but, you know, his 12-5, you know, with five turnovers was not his best effort, clearly. And the big kid, Thamba, who fouled out, and then Vital. Vital had 8 offensive rebounds. He's like 6'5". Timmy's 6'10". Like, Vital had that dog in him from the jump. I think he had 2 offensive boards in the first possession. You were like, oh boy, this could be a long night. And you know, I do think Timmy can be a pro. I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a pro. I think Suggs, obviously, is still going to go top 5. But I do believe, Rob, that this was a game where Butler, who's 20 years old, looked like a pro. And, I mean, you know, he hit 4 threes. At one point, I think he was 4-for-4 from deep. But just a great defensive player. 22-7, 0 turnovers. Mitchell, 15-6-5, controlled the game. Those guys are major studs. And the kid, Teague, another transfer, and that's another topic I'll talk about. But, like, this is just a ridiculously good Baylor team. 3 starters were transfers. And we talked about that with Jay Billis. We talked about that with Fran Fischilla. This is the route you got to go. You need guards, and you need transfers. You need those veterans, those older 21, 22-year-old kids who can go up against the young kids and dominate. And that's kind of what happened. Even off the bench, the kid Flagler, who, again, a transfer. He's a young guy from Georgia. But this kid looked good. I mean, he came off the bench. His over prop, I posted this on the gram, was 8.5 points. He had 13. He had 8 the first half. So Baylor just beat them. That's what it was. It was just a beatdown. Take nothing away from Gonzaga, but clearly they are not in the discussion for greatest teams of all time. Not with UNLV. Not with Kentucky. They're a very, very, very good team. If you look at the last decade, Rob, I would say, you know, going back to 2011, are they probably one of the 10 best teams in college hoops? Yes. They didn't win the title, but that doesn't mean they're trash. You can't be 31-0, winning all but 2 games by double figures, and then you lose the title game by 16, and you go from awesome to trash. So, I don't know, Rob. Those are my takeaways from, you know, it was kind of a letdown, an anticlimactic game after just a ridiculously great Final Four game between UCLA and Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah. I think underwhelming would be the word I would use to describe last night's title game. But I will push back a little bit on this. And you said that Gonzaga cannot be considered one of the greatest teams of all time because of the loss. Or no, that they should not be eliminated because they still had a great season. And I think they did have a great season. But shouldn't then we argue that Baylor should be one of the greatest teams of all time? Because you don't have to be undefeated to be considered one of the greatest teams of all time. Like SB Nation and Slam Magazine had a collaboration that they put out, I think, before this last season started. And of their top 5 teams that they have listed, 3 of them weren't undefeated. And one of the teams that's number 8, which is UNLV, 1991, they didn't even win the championship.
Well, yeah, so, yeah. That was the team that had won like 45 games in a row. Dating back to last, right.
But Baylor, I mean, if you as impressive as Gonzaga's run has been the last 2 years, they've only lost like 4 games, something like that, 4 or 5. I want to say Baylor's only lost 8, so it's not like they haven't
in the
been,
last two years.
Yes.
So yeah, so, last year they were 26-4. At one point they were 24-1 and looking like they were going to win the title, and then they kind of slumped at the end of the season. I don't remember what happened. But 26-4, and then this year 28-2. So my math tells me that's like 52-4. Oh, sorry, 52-6,
yeah,
in the last 2 years, or 54-6. Okay.
So just by that logic, if you're gonna say Gonzaga was one of the greatest teams ever and they manhandled them, like it wasn't just that they beat them, you know, they won 71-67. I mean, from the jump, they were all over them. They were faster to them. They're faster than them. They look more skilled than them out there in a lot of cases. They made Gonzaga look like a JV team, to be honest with you. And I tweeted this out after the game, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. It reminded me so much of the Denver Broncos-Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl. This was the college basketball equivalent of that, because with Denver and Peyton Manning, you know, they were the team. That was the team that everybody was excited about. He had all these touchdowns, all these records. They looked good while they did it. They were blowing everybody out, playing the style of play that everybody seemed to appreciate. And then there was Seattle, and they were more rough and tumble, physical, a lot of great athletes. But, you know, they're not this team. They're not the Denver Broncos. Like, they can't compete with them. And then once they faced each other, same thing that happened last night with Gonzaga and Baylor. What, you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, the athletic difference between the Seahawks defense and the Denver offense is just it's uncanny. Like, we thought that Wes Welker would be able to get open against Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, and he just can't. And that's exactly what happened with Baylor. I mean, Baylor... And I'm glad you brought up the Timmy part of it, because I thought that was the biggest, difference in the game. You mentioned the 12-5, and then I'm glad you pointed out the 5 turnovers, because he looked just completely physically outmatched underneath there.
Right.
I mean, he was getting pushed off the block. Watching him trying to get position on a rebound and box out. It looked like me trying to box out Shaq.
You brought up a good point, but one thing we haven't brought up, Rob, how much did they get drained Saturday night going overtime against UCLA? Because I'll say this. I just looked this up because you mentioned the turnovers for Timmy. Against USC, a really good defense with an NBA center and another guy 6'11". Timmy had 23 points and 0 turnovers. Against UCLA, 38 minutes, 25 points, 0 turnovers. Like, again, I'm not blaming it on the overtime game and getting drained in an incredible game, but you just said it. Like, Timmy looked slow. He looked outmatched. Was he drained? Like, did the weight of an undefeated season fall upon, finally, Gonzaga? Did that factor in at all, or was this was just an ass kicking?
I would lean towards the ass-kicking part for this reason. And it's not to say that they weren't physically drained, because I think that that's fair. You know, it was one of the most... I think it was the greatest game I've ever seen played in college. You know, just start to finish, the shot-making, the back and forth, it was great. But watching them, it didn't look so much that he was physically drained out there. It looked like he was physically outmatched. Now, he's listed at 235. 6'10", 235, which means he's probably 6'8", 225, something like that, closer to that. Thamba, 6'10", 245. So, you know, he's bigger. He's thicker than him. Vital, who looks like a fire. Remember I mentioned that the UCLA center was a fire hydrant?
Yeah, Cody Riley.
6'5", 250 in your programs, which means when a guy's listed like that, he's like 6'3", 265. You know, they're trying to slim him down. Yeah, they go the other way. You know, when his guy's that heavy. And so that there's a reason why he was just getting pushed around in the paint. And that's something that is going to hurt him at the next level, because he's not a great athlete. He's not a high flyer. He's very highly skilled. But you're being that skilled and not having the athleticism to go with it only takes you so far. I mean, unless you're Luka Doncic, I don't know how successful you're going to be not being able to have any level of equal footing athletically with the guys you're going against.
One other thought that crossed my mind, and I saw somebody put this out on social media that, Gonzaga, they're the new Golden State Warriors when they went 73-9 and everybody had them crowned as champs and they lose in game 7 to the Cavs. And I'm like, I can't buy that, Rob, because, and even to a little bit of an extent, your Seahawks Broncos analogy, like, a little bit falls short for me, because I think this is what makes March Madness so incredible, is that before the tournament, UCLA was like on the bubble practically. They were right. They were on the bubble. They were in the play-in game. And how's UCLA in a play-in game? Well, their body of work with season was not incredible. But in the tournament, anybody can get hot. Anything can happen. The swings of Illinois, they look like the second or third best team in the country. They're right there with Baylor and Gonzaga. And they get knocked out in the second round by Loyola. Ohio State went to the Big Ten Championship. They're loaded. They get knocked out in the first round by, shucks, I forgot who it was. Oral Roberts. Two loses to a 15. Like, these are the breaks. We've seen this in the NFL a little bit. And the Patriots were undefeated. And they go as big favorites against the Giants in the Super Bowl and lay an egg. Now, they didn't get their butts kicked like this, and the Warriors also didn't get their butts kicked. However, that's the part of your analogy that does line up. The Broncos, I think they had a safety on the first play of the game, right?
That is correct.
And from there, it was like, boom, done. And like, they never were in the game. I think it was 22-0 at halftime or something. Like, this kind of had the same vibe to it. I do wonder if they just played a regular season game when there wasn't a Thursday night overtime game right before it in no fans or whatever small amount of fans there were. Like, is this a closer game like they were supposed to have in December? I mean, listen, Vegas odds makers had this at 5 or 4.5. Nobody on planet Earth, outside of one guy who listens to this podcast a ton, Tony, I'm sure you saw his tweet, Rob. He's like, I called this, and he showed his tweet from like Saturday. He said Baylor wins by 12. And I don't know anyone else on planet Earth who thought Baylor wins this by double digits. Like, did you? Like, I don't think that was on anybody's radar.
No, I expected history to be made. And because, you know, I bought into the hype. I listened to guys like you and Jay Billis. And you guys got me all hyped up. This was the greatest team of all times. I'm ready to argue with a bunch of old fogies that, you know, this team is better than the Duke team, and they're better than UNLV, and they're better than old Kentucky teams. And then this happens. So now, you know, millennials such as myself look stupid because now we try to argue that Gonzaga could hang with those guys.
The offensive rebounds, 16-5, and they don't really have, I mean, Vital, who's 6'5", the fire hydrant dude, 8 offensive rebounds. That's more than all of Gonzaga. Now, is that tired legs from Gonzaga? Because Vital didn't play much in the semifinal. I think like 16 minutes or something. And Gonzaga, I don't know. Their starting lineup. Timmy, 0 offensive boards. Kispert, 0. Like, they didn't. Their legs on their threes, 5 for 17. It's one of the best three-point shooting teams out there. Like, I don't. I'm not making excuses for Gonzaga. Baylor was better if they played a 7-game series. I mean, based on what we saw tonight, I guess Baylor would probably win 4-2. But that's not the tournament. The tournament is one game, and you have an off night, and you have the potential to get smoked. Now, I think this really ends the college basketball season badly, given the tournament was fun, and there was, I think, 2 buzzer beaters, one against UCLA that sent the game to overtime, and Alabama ended up losing. And then, of course, Suggs. But, like, this game, never within 8 in the final 38 minutes is a tough sell for, like, that was awesome. Like, one shining moment, I was waiting for it, you know, and I sat there like a nerd getting all geeked out about it, and my wife is looking at me literally laughing like, ah, what a loser this guy is. And I'm like, I like it. Did you watch One Shining Moment, Rob G?
I did, and you know, my first thought, and I'm sure most of America didn't notice it, but because I work in audio production, I thought that whoever put it together, there was something wrong with the audio levels.
Oh, wow.
I thought I did not pick that up. Is it Luther who sings it, right?
Luther, maybe, yeah. There's a couple people who have sung it. I don't know which one they use, yeah.
Well, whatever. The singing came in was way too low, and the play-by-play highs were way too high, and so, you know, it didn't sound very good to me.
Okay. I will also say one shining moment, it is very exciting for me. I love it. I recorded it. I'll probably watch it again tomorrow if I don't look at it on YouTube. But it is a melancholy moment because the end of March Madness. You guys know, for me, my 2 favorite months in the sports year are November because of the NFL. Start of college football. Not the start of college football. Start of college hoops. College football games that matter. And the NBA's underway. You know, 4 sports that I love the most. Maybe you get a World Series game in there if you're lucky. 2nd favorite month is March for the tournament. To me, it's a clear number 2. And then after that, there's a considerable drop-off. And we're about to hit the considerable drop-off zone. You know, I know some people are excited for the Masters this weekend. What's your Masters level interest, Rob?
With no Tiger, like a 10%.
Tiger, we don't even know if he can walk right now. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know who the favorite is.
I think it's Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson's
favorite. Okay, yeah. So Paulina Gretzky, her Instagram will be the highlight of the Masters weekend for me.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Massive golf guy. I probably need to get into it more. My kids have played a little bit. I actually have a potential golf investment on the horizon.
That's just something rich people say.
Yeah, no,
I'm not. I have an investment
on the horizon. I am a renter right now, so we don't need to go down that road. I rent currently.
Yeah, you know who you know my neighbors are? It's some lady named Victoria and a family with six kids.
Yeah, also, by the way, neighbor, you have my
your
neighbor's
not Danny Green.
Not directly, just in the neighborhood. But also, you have a brand new vehicle you just bought. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a couple months old. I'm driving a 2008 sedan. With over 100,000 miles on it. So like that's how I roll, renting and sedan. I'd rather invest with high upside potential. At any rate, like at the end of the tournament, I just am like, oh, okay, when are the NBA playoffs starting? And then I started looking at NBA scores last night before I went to bed, and I was like, okay, the Mavericks are surging. When's LeBron back? Like, what am I going to do now? Like the tournament really consumes me. Significantly for March. And I know baseball started and everybody's excited about the first week of baseball. I get that. That's cool. The stadium in Texas was full, but there is such a drop off from March Madness for me in sports. So we got some good guests lined up this month. And I have a couple interesting ideas that we will put forth this month to keep the level of excitement popping post-March Madness. But for now, I mean, listen, the NFL draft is probably the next big thing for me. That's in a month. And that's a perfect segue to end the college basketball season and segue into the NFL because it's time to talk about Sam Darnold.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
This episode is brought to you by Royal Caribbean, an award-winning global cruise line. A vacation is what you make it. So are you ready to make the most of it? A Royal Caribbean adventure is the perfect opportunity to not just take a vacation, but to take it for all it's worth. We know you're eager to get back out there, and with Royal Caribbean, you can make the most of the moment and rise to the vacation. This is not just a cruise. This is the biggest, boldest vacation on land or at sea. This is pushing the limits of what could be done at sea and on land, breaking records and earning honors along the way. With over 270-plus destinations from the Caribbean, Alaska to Europe, and the biggest ships in the world to take you there, each one of our cruises is packed full of onboard features you won't find anywhere else, like the tallest slide at sea and the tallest water slide in all North America. Plus, dining that takes your taste buds on a world tour, jaw-dropping entertainment, and award-winning service delivered by a crew that comes to us from over 140 countries. So just don't take a vacation. Rise to the vacation. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Visit RoyalCaribbean.com to learn more.
This clip is brought to you by State Farm. At State Farm, they know it's important to ensure the things you love. They also get that everyone has a budget. That's why they have options, like insuring your car and your home, getting you great rates on both. It's a good idea to consider State Farm. For surprisingly great rates, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
If you could talk to me a little bit about the process you went through, and I think it's good to not pat yourself on the back, but to put it out there so other people can kind of hear what it takes.
Like, I don't know. I always look at like this, like, what do I want? I wanted to be a WWE superstar. All right, what does it take to be a WWE superstar? What are the tools I will need to give me every possible opportunity I can get? And so I took the tools of acting classes, improv classes, wrestling school, everything I possibly can to knock on the door of WWE. The people of the, everyone on that Real World show would wear my t-shirts, would always ask me to do the Miz. Like, they were so supportive. Like, you don't get that very often. Yeah. You really don't.
Listen to the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, the other big story in sports Monday, besides college basketball and the Natty, was my guy Sam Darnold finally got traded. He is going to Carolina. He actually got more for the Jets in return than I thought they would get. They get a sixth-round pick this year and then a 2 and a 4 next year. That's not a bad haul. It's not quite what the Eagles got in return for Carson Wentz, who got a 2 and a 3, but the 2's conditional. Nevertheless, I do need to talk briefly about Sam Darnold and the Jets. And I was leading the charge when the Jets got lucky and were able to land Darnold in the draft in 2018. Yeah, in 2018, they get Darnold because the New York Giants decided to take Saquon Barkley second. And the Jets got what I thought was the best quarterback in the draft. I was not a believer in Baker Mayfield. I was not a believer in Josh Allen or Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, to the level I was all in on Sam Darnold. And folks, as a long-suffering Jets fan, yes, I tell the story every single fall without fail. My kids, I buy them Jets gear. And they say, I don't want to wear it. The Jets stink. Dad, why do you root for them? They lose all the time. I mean, my kids have only known the Jets as a dumpster fire. My young son was like 2 when the Jets were in the AFC title game against, I think it was the Colts maybe, or Pittsburgh, one of those 2. But he was a young guy. He doesn't really remember that. And since then, the Jets have been crap. They haven't made the playoffs since that Pittsburgh AFC title game, which I can recount the entire fourth quarter, where the Jets are storming back from a massive deficit. And all they needed was one stop. And I was confident Sanchez could get them down the field against what seemed like a tired Pittsburgh defense. And alas, Ben Roethlisberger and that offense, they got like 3 first downs on the final drive. And it was curtains. And the Jets haven't been the same since. They tried Ryan Fitzpatrick. And it's just been garbage. And I thought Darnold was going to change that. The problem is they paired him after they fired Todd Bowles with Adam Gase. And, you know, I fell for the Adam Gase shtick. And why? And people ask me this so often because I get killed on social media. Oh, you liked Adam Gase. Well, yeah, no shit I liked Adam Gase. Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, comes out and says, Adam Gase is a great coach. He helped me throw 55 touchdown passes. You know, pretty clearly Adam Gase didn't help Peyton for squat in Denver. And Adam Gase comes out. He was okay in Miami as a head coach. The problem is the locker room hated him, and I didn't realize that because they had won and he got them to the playoffs. Even though the starter, Tannehill, had gotten hurt, Gase was able to get them. By the way, Tannehill had his best year in Miami with Gase. They had, I think it was Matt Moore got them to the playoffs, and they lose to Pittsburgh. But he got to the playoffs. But what I was unaware of was behind the scenes in Miami, Gase was awful in the locker room. And none of that had really come out. There was some bubbling up of it, but I was blinded by Peyton Manning gave him the stamp of approval. And so Gase, and I'll never forget his first game against Buffalo, the season opener. They're leading Buffalo 16-0. And I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to the playoffs, 16-0. And I'll never forget this. C.J. Mosley, the Jets linebacker who they had just signed from Baltimore, was having a great game. He gets injured in like the third or fourth quarter. And the Jets defense could not get a stop the rest of the way. The Bills score 17 straight, win 17-60. Just a gut punch for the Jets. And then the injuries start mounting. Gase starts feuding with Le'Veon Bell and basically everyone else. And the Jets are total garbage. And a lot of people said, fire Gase. I said, you got to give him another chance. You don't want to give Sam Darnold three coaches in 3 years. But in hindsight, it might have worked because Sam Darnold never really had a fair shake in New York. They tried, but there was too much change around him. The GM who drafted Darnold did not last, okay? And neither did Todd Bowles. So they bring in Gase, they bring in a new GM. All this change in the front office swirling around, like, there's just no way that anybody could be successful with that much change. And then you look at the weapons, you're like, oh, well, you know, they got him, Le'Veon Bell. A running back? And Le'Veon Bell, by the way, after that year off in Pittsburgh, gosh, he looked terrible. And I don't want to hear, oh, it was the Jets, because then he goes to KC and, like, basically did nothing. You know, I don't even know if he was active for the Super Bowl. I'd have to go back and check. But bottom line, it just didn't work out for Darnold. Now, I think he can thrive in Carolina. I do think he can. Carolina has, obviously, a good running back in McCaffrey. They lost Curtis Samuel, but they bring back Robbie Anderson. They've got one of the best young offensive coordinators in the league in Joe Brady, who, of course, was in LSU with Joe Burrow. They have the eighth pick in the draft, which a lot of people had, you know, pegged a quarterback to go there. I don't think that's going to be the move now. You know, I don't know if Darnold is long for Carolina, but they picked up his fifth-year option, so they're going to have him for 2 years. And remember this, Matt Rhule was nearly named the Jets coach. But then there was that issue with, hey, I want to bring in my staff. And they were like, you know, you've got a college background. We need to bring in some professional coaches as your assistants. And he's like, yeah, that's not going to work. So then the Jets had to settle for Gase. Joe Brady is a really good offensive coordinator. Matt Rhule clearly likes the cut of Sam Darnold's jib because he was ready to coach him in New York. And I do believe this is going to be a bet on team. File this away. I'm going to be doing a lot of gambling stuff this summer for Fox, as I did last summer. And we correctly identified the teams you wanted to bet on. And I'm telling you right now, this Carolina team is going to be a bet on team. Okay, Teddy Bridgewater was okay early, fizzled out, and down the stretch they were a train wreck. But that's fine, because they got a high draft pick. The weapons are in place, and the defense started to improve late in the season. So I'm bullish on Carolina. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think if everything shook out right there, there's a chance. I mean, anything's possible. Every year somebody goes from the cellar to the playoffs. I think that's a thing. Like 9 out of the last 10 years, someone's gone from last place to the playoffs. And remember, hey, Drew Brees is gone from the Saints. So we don't know what's going on with Atlanta. Like, there are some openings for Carolina. I think they'll be better. I think they'll sniff 500. And I think Darnold's got a really good chance. And you know what people are going to say. Oh, the Jets are stupid. They gave up on Darnold. No. No, no, no. I want to nip this in the bud right now. The Jets had to move on from Sam Darnold. They had to. Otherwise, they would have had to pay him. And then your response to that is, well, if he's good and they pay him, what's the big deal? Well, that's a gigantic if, okay? If you pay him. And by the way, like I said, the GM did not, repeat, did not draft Darnold. The new coach, Robert Saleh from the 49ers, he had no input on the Darnold decision. You've now got a GM and a coach on the same page. It's pretty clear they like Zach Wilson a lot, and he's going to be the guy. It's tough for any quarterback to have his coach or his sensei, if you will, his guru who drafts him, stick up for him in the locker room, in the film room, and in the front office when he's like, ah, this ain't my guy. I'm not going down swinging with somebody else's guy. And I do need to remind you, Sam Darnold has been very bad in New York for 3 straight years. As much as there's the upside, and hey, he was great at USC, remember that Penn State game? Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's all true. But the facts are also that Sam Darnold was the lowest rated quarterback in the NFL over the last 3 years. Period. Hard stop. He started 38 games. There is a body of work that says, huh, Sam Darnold makes a lot of bad mistakes. And sure, there is upside, but can you think of a game where he elevated the play of everyone around him? I mean, folks, he had 12 starts last year, and I know they were very bad. He didn't have one fourth quarter comeback, not one. Like, that's really bad. Every quarterback has one game, two games where they make a comeback. Darnold had, I think, 3 the year prior. He didn't have one last year. I mean, it was a fait accompli. You know, the head coach was a dead man walking. The Jets were essentially tanking. I mean, hell, Joe Flacco is the one who cost them Trevor Lawrence with that win. You know, I don't know. All I'll say is Sam Darnold's got a chance to be good in Carolina. I'm not ready to say he's going to be special. He's going to have a chance, okay? And he's going to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And yeah, I think he'll do fine. The big question now for the Jets is, okay, what are we going to do with these draft picks? Because it's pretty clear that Zach Wilson's the guy and he's going to be the starter from day one, which I'm fine with. The Mormon Mahomes, by the way, that's totally sticking. I said it on The Herd, I think a month ago. And again, I had heard it somewhere, but I wasn't the originator of the Mormon Mahomes. And now everybody loves the Mormon Mahomes is like his nickname. Somebody tried to sell me on Zach's Fifth Avenue. And I was like, no, not very cool. The Mormon Mahomes is just money. And you're going to need... I had a buddy texting me who's a hardcore Jets fan. We actually watched that Pittsburgh Jets AFC title game together back in Pennsylvania. And he said, well, we got to get a veteran. You know, Zach Wilson, I don't know. Maybe a lot of these recent top 10 picks have, not started. I mean, Baker Mayfield didn't start game one. Okay, Herbert last year did not start. Tua did not start. I know Tua was kind of injured. Lamar Jackson did not start. Like, a lot of these rookies don't come out of the gate starting. It's just how it is. So the idea of Zach Wilson not starting right now is off the table. I don't believe Teddy Bridgewater's an option. It sounds like he's going to probably end up going to Denver to compete with Drew Locke. The new Broncos GM spent a lot of time in Minnesota, was there when they drafted Teddy Bridgewater. So it seems like Bridgewater will be headed to Denver, which leaves perhaps Alex Smith as an option in New York. Now, Alex Smith is a really good story, and he played well last year. Health-wise, I don't know. Listen, he's been around Mahomes, which is interesting, in KC. And now Zach Wilson, again, I'm not comparing Zach Wilson to Patrick Mahomes, obviously. Some of the characteristics and traits are similar. That's about all that's similar right now. But yeah, I think Alex Smith is certainly a veteran option for the Jets because they're going to need a veteran quarterback. But overall, listen, the Sam Darnold era started with, oh my gosh, the fanfare was ridiculous. And it ended with a whimper. And he's gone now, and I think he'll do well in Carolina. I do think that. And again, when he does well in Carolina, don't say, the Jets were stupid. They gave up on him. No, that's not how it works. It's just, that's not how it works. They had a 38 game sample size. 38 starts for Sam Darnold. And then the GM who did not draft him said, you know what? We're gonna move on. I'm going to get my guy in here. They got a new head coach. It's a new direction for the Jets. So don't kill him when Darnold does well. Obviously, we'll be doing much, much more on the NFL draft. And as a matter of fact, we have a guest coming up this week. Not draft-wise, but he wrote an NFL book that's coming out. And obviously, it's going to make waves. We will talk to him later this week. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The more we learn about COVID-19, the more questions and worries we have. CalHope can help with free COVID-19 emotional support. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today. The more we learn about COVID-19, the more questions we have. The biggest question now? What's next? What will COVID bring in 6 months? A year? If you're feeling anxious about the future, you're not alone. CalHope offers free COVID-19 emotional support. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today.
If you work in IT, you'll want to check out Changemakers, a podcast profiling IT industry leaders. We dive deep into IT profiles and learn what it takes to drive large-scale IT transformations for successful businesses. Visit changemakers.freshworks.com.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.